So this morning we return to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. I'll be reading the verses 1 through 11. Now we call this, it's kind of been taken throughout the church's tradition as Jesus' triumphal entry. But when you read Mark's Gospel, not as triumphal as the other Gospels painted. Mark isn't so concerned about the crowd as he is about the disciples. And actually, when we take a look at this passage of Scripture, there's some certain things that are happening that's different. And one is that throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' ministry has been kind of low-keyed, as low-keyed as it could possibly be, because of, you know, as he was healing people, he became kind of a celebrity, you know, among the crowds, and they would follow him. But he would constantly deflect some of that. You know, he says, "Don't tell people who I am." He would sneak off in order to continue on his mission. Now he's turning to be very public. So let's take a look at this passage of Scripture. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it, and it will send, and will send it back here immediately." And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there to them, I said, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. It's interesting, you know, here with all that is happening in the community of Jerusalem at this time. We need to remember people come in for Passover into Jerusalem. The roads into Jerusalem are filled with thousands and thousands of people crowding in, coming in. You know, sometimes when you are driving downtown, you know, through on 95, as you're coming into Baltimore City, if there's a baseball game, but especially if there's a football game, you know, there's signs up telling you, you know, about the traffic. And when you get there, you see all these people crowding in, you know, trying to get into that stadium. As you just see, you know, thousands of cars, you know, trying to get in all at the same time. Or if you go for a parade event, sometimes, you know, especially the larger parades, like St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City, as people kind of flood in there and they start pouring in. And just the streets are just jam-packed with a million people there coming to see the parade. And so this is the kind of the atmosphere. People are excited because they're celebrating the Passover time of God delivering the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. It's a big event, and people are happy to be on this pilgrimage. There's an excitement. There's also always an anticipation within that group when they would be going up to Jerusalem, hoping that the Messiah, God's chosen one, would finally come. Now, what they were looking for was a political Messiah. They wanted somebody who would come and reestablish the kingdom of Israel the way it was supposed to be, and break the bondage of the Romans that they had on the people of Israel. So kind of get this idea of it being very festive. You know, people are excited. People are going up. And so here's Jesus talking to his disciples about going to get this donkey that's never been ridden on before. And you notice a couple of things. Jesus is now kind of revealing who himself is in a very public way. So first of all, he's telling his disciples, two of them that are unnamed, to go and do this. And further giving evidence that everything he's been saying about this coming week, about his death, burial, resurrection, is true. So he's demonstrating his foreknowledge. So he tells them that they're going to go and to find this donkey. And when anybody asks what they need it for. He says to tell them the Lord needs it. And this is a very clear first reference that we are for sure that Jesus is referring to himself as Lord in the Gospel of Mark. There's a couple other instances that could be about him, or he might have been talking about God the Father, depending on how you read it. But here it's very clear that he's referencing himself as Lord. And so they go, and also the king always had the right to be able to confiscate any animal that he wanted to for his purposes. The only difference here is that King Jesus says he'll return it. So here the disciples go. They find it just the way that Jesus had said it would be. And they bring the colt to him. Verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on it. So putting the cloaks on it, there's history in Israel about doing that. It's a sign of royalty, putting the king up on their cloaks. And they, talking about the disciples, brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. Only in John's gospel do we know that these are palm branches. Here, Mark just says they're leafy branches. So again, there's this idea of royalty, of paving the way up. And those who went before him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. All of this has messianic indications, talking about Jesus as being the Messiah. And Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this donkey had never been ridden on, so it is sanctified for this purpose. And then in Psalm 118, which we've read part of that, in our responsive reading, Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. So here Jesus is coming in. His disciples are going before him and after him, yelling out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People in the crowd are beginning, from other gospel accounts, we know that the religious leaders did not like that, asked Jesus to tell them to stop, to tell his disciples to stop singing that. But when we look at this passage, Hosanna, the very term Hosanna means save us, Lord, or Lord save us, or God save us, we pray. And originally it was a plea. When the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, it was a plea that God would save them. But after their salvation from that bondage, it became a praise. God save us, recognizing that he did save. And so in this passage, when we look into them, they know that they're under Roman bondage, but they're rehearsing God's work in the past. They're having this idea that God can save us, that God can deliver us from this bondage. Again, they had a very political mindset about what that looks like and what that meant. When we kind of look at this and think about this whole idea of God save us, it's kind of applicable right now with the whole world under an oppressive cloud of COVID-19. We'd like to be delivered. We'd like to be delivered out of our homes. We'd like to be delivered to go back to work. And who would have thought that? We'd all be excited to get back to work and routine, to be able to socialize. But it's not. But we should not be looking at the salvation and just that we go back to our normal routine, life as it had been. Because when you take a look at this passage, this is the beginning of the Holy Week, of the Passion Week. And in this entire week, as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, for the next few weeks, what we're going to see is that there's a very public confrontation that Jesus has. And he's actually confronting business as usual among the religious establishment. Things cannot just be business as usual. Now, when we take a look at this passage, it seems like it doesn't seem like it's very much business as usual. It seems like everybody's celebrating Jesus and excited and thinking that he is indeed the Messiah. Other passages that we look at, they reference him as, and the other Gospels reference him as the prophet. So there was some excitement because they had heard of him. Many have seen him. They knew about his miracles. They had heard some of his teachings. And they referred to him as the prophet from Nazareth. So as he's coming in, there's a little bit of a celebrity aspect of it. It's just like if you're going to a football game or maybe a Broadway musical or whatever, and maybe an actor comes by or a football player comes by, there's excitement. Oh, look who it is. And the people get so excited. So we should not just look into this and think everybody's in wholesale agreement that he's the Messiah. Because remember, they're already emotionally charged. They're already excited about going to Jerusalem for the Passover time. You know, there is a festive atmosphere as people are making this journey. So it would be very easy for people to come up, for Jesus to come along. They see him as a celebrity and starts, just kind of get swooped up in what the disciples were saying, but then return to business as usual pretty quickly. Now, why do I say that? Well, the very next verse kind of gives us an idea about this. And he, Jesus, entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Mark really seems to indicate that it's just the 12, just the 13 of them. Went into the temple, took a look around and see what was happening. So the crowd isn't following him. The crowd isn't following him into the temple. So when they get into Jerusalem after all of this excitement, everybody went to where they needed to be, and actually things went back to normal. People started participating and doing the things that they would normally do. And so when we take a look at what we ask of Jesus and what we expect of Jesus, when we ask him to save us from this season of COVID-19, is it so that we could go back to business as usual? Or should we go back to something that's even grander and more in line with his kingdom principles? I think it's part of the problem that we constantly have throughout all generations. And you just look at the history of Christianity, people will try to use Christ to fulfill their political agenda. And Jesus isn't interested in fulfilling our political agenda. Every nation, in Europe at one time or another used the church, used Christianity to try to drive their agendas. What we need to understand is we need to be on board with Jesus' agenda. Because he had a specific agenda coming in to Jerusalem. And that was indeed to save us. Not the way they thought they would need to be saved, but to save us from our own sinfulness, to save us from our own lostness, our separation from God. That was Jesus' agenda. And during that whole week, there is this confrontation and judgment on doing business as usual. So we don't want to do business as usual. Because Jesus isn't about us doing business as usual. So as we start preparing our hearts, because we know that this isn't the new normal that we're experiencing now. It is a season of COVID-19, of being locked up in our own homes and not being able to socialize. The question that we have to ask ourselves in light of what Jesus has done and when we confess him as our Lord and our Savior, our leader, our forgiver, what we need to ask ourselves is, do I go back to doing business as usual, or do I go back representing him even better to those around us? Recognizing that our life is dependent upon him, because business as usual isn't what he came for, isn't what he died for. He died to help us have a full and meaningful life.